from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who, I don't know how long I've had the headphones that I use recording this podcast, and I feel like like the headphones are still working great, but they need new ear pads, which by the time you hear this, I'll be in new ear pads. I talked to some, this is like one of the, because you wear headphones when you record. Oh boy, you know what? I'm trying to introduce a podcast. For Friends Beyond the Binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcaster that goes on meanders and doesn't even know it sometimes. It's time for Sleep With Me, podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, before we move forward here, remember, Sleep With Me is built on empathy and compassion, and that means being here for you through the podcast. It also means that I provide resources in our show notes if you're looking for, you need to connect with someone right now. There's organizations you can connect with in the show notes. It also means supporting the members of our community and not just saying Black Lives Matter, but offering you resources to join me on my journey, too, of change and looking at how can we do better. So there's going to be links to organizations that can support you on that journey in the show notes. And when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, you could look those things up. You could check out these sponsors that enable me to be here free for you twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the sleepy supporter zone. And holy cow, do I got to thank someone. Nicole got products from Native, Relief Band, and Celestial Seasonings over the years. Nicole's been talking about her experience with Relief Band because she's pregnant with her third child and says it does wonders for morning and all day tummy tum tum trouble and wishes as Nicole had had it for the first two pregnancies, it really does make a difference. And she also appreciates the natural products from Native. So thank you so much. If you're not like Nicole and you support a sponsor, let them know about it via social media or a story on Instagram or email or a call, and let me know about it so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Nicole, because that's how, like, some people do say, what? But it is really how we keep the show free, are those listeners that support the sponsors. So I really appreciate being able to be here twice a week for you. The other way I'm here for you twice a week is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources in our show notes. Please use those resources to connect with organizations if you need to connect with someone right now. And it's also about supporting the members of our community and not just saying Black Lives Matter or Black Mental Health Matters, but backing it up with action and change. So there's going to be organizations you could connect with so you can be a part of positive change. And I also, last part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is what other, hey Brody, this is Scoots here, and like usually this would be part of the whole, but this is like something I support, and I'm coming in here because I really want to encourage you to support the Asian members of our community. And one thing I support and you could support is to go to napawf.org right now. And that's the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. And it's the only organization focused on building power with AAPI women and girls to influence critical decisions that affect our lives, our families, and our communities. And as a father of an AAPI woman, this is really important to me. But as a member of this community and my broader community and my local community, it's important to me too. So if you go to napawf.org, you can take action right now in a few different ways. You can donate, you can sign their petition, and you can learn more. So I want to empower you right now to take action to support the AAPI members of our community. Thanks, everybody.
Chris, posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. Are your narrators?
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dearest Scooter with a T on Twitter and Instagram. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do, or all you could do, or you can do, or you could see if you wish to do, or if you would like, wish you might have a lull from Scoots tonight. And you can do this in any order or not in this order. Get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. And I'm going to do the rest. Or I'm going to do it so you can rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where, you know, I got the safe place. I'm smoothing it, I'm rubbing it down. Talking about the ear pads on my headphones, and maybe I'll talk about that on a tangent, because listening is really important so I could be here for you. But I'm going to try and create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts about this podcast intro or about the past, present, or future. Or just, you know, calculations, anything coming up for you thinking-wise. And the old the stinking thinking, you know, what makes me think is when people say stinking thinking, I say, I don't know if I like that term. And they say, would you think up that answer? And I say, yeah, kind of, but So thoughts, feelings, anything you're feeling emotionally or physically coming up for you, I'll try to take your mind off of that. So anything feelings-wise or physical sensations, it could be changes in your schedule or your routine or, you know, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that, seriously. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, and go off topic, which you've already witnessed a few times, get mixed up, all to keep you company while you fall asleep. And so if you're new, if you're a regular listener, I'm so glad you're here. This is the second intro I'm recording in 2021. And I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I can be here for you, the new listener and the regular listeners and the kind of listeners that are listen occasionally. That is one of my favorite things. I have so many favorite things, but it is hearing from listeners now that may have listened in high school or university or when they were in their 20s or their teens, and then they listened in their... Like, I haven't been doing it. I haven't gotten to the double decade yet. But I have heard from people that go from their, you know, education or their younger years to their first job to starting a family. Or people that are in other transitions. And it's just really humbling. So thank you for sharing those with me. But for the new listener, I wanted to tell you a couple of things. A few things to note. This is a podcast you don't really listen to. You kind of barely listen to it. So just kind of pay attention loosely, which is kind of hard to do on the first time, right? You see, what do you mean barely listen? When's this podcast get started? When are you going to go to sleep? When am I going to go to sleep? And I say, yeah, no, those are very valid questions. I totally understand. And most people, when they get here, have those questions. The thing is, they don't really have clear answers either. It's kind of like, well, you just stop, you barely pay attention to me at some point, but it doesn't happen. For some people, it happens instantaneously. They listen and they say, oh, Scooch reminds me of that person in the park that talks to birds and then talks to someone that sits next to him about how he talks to birds. And then he says, you know, then he talks about squirrels and, you know, tells us stories. Oh, do you know Norma the squirrel? She was eating someone left a sandwich. And I said, they left a sandwich for Norma unintentionally. And oh, Norma, she climbed out of the tree and she took a look and her tail. Norma has this beautiful tail and she climbed down and it was one of those jelly and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Why don't they call those jelly and peanut butter? That's kind of what the podcast is. I mean, let's be honest. I just launched into my own episode or version of it. So at some point you say, if you're like, here's the great thing. In the park, you'd have to humor that person. You'd say, And you might be thinking, you might have a variety of different feelings, but it may be, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to the person who's representing me's feelings, but it might be a little inconvenient. You say, you know, Scoots, I'd love to humor you here on this bench where you talk about squirrels and birds and talking to them, but I got to go. Or it just takes a lot of energy for me to humor you because I'm not really into listening to you. With sleep with me, there's no humoring. You don't have to humor me. You don't have to listen or pretend to listen. You could pretend to listen, but that would be more for you too. You could say, That's like one of the soothing ways people can listen. But you're not really doing it. That's literally dialing it in. You say, Scoots. Oh boy. Really? Tell me more. That's like just a little technique that I used to fall asleep to myself without the podcast period. So I'm a podcaster you barely listen to. That throws people off. The other thing they can throw you off is this show really doesn't put you to sleep. It keeps you company as you drift off. That's why the episodes are over an hour. is to get plenty of time to fall asleep. And if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here. I'm your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar bra, your boar burr, your boar bud. So that I'm just here to barely entertain you, whether you're entertained or paying attention, awake or asleep. Because there are listeners that can't sleep, so I'm here for you if you can't sleep or if you wake up and you need some comfort in the middle of the night. That's what my job is, to provide comfort. And you don't have to, like, when you're listening, you don't have to, whatever, interact or anything. There's no social norms that you're supposed to meet. So those are two things for new listeners. A couple other things for new listeners that can throw people off. One is that a lot of this podcast throws new people off. Of course, you're going to be skeptical or doubtful. My voice is different. My, like, technique or humor or whatever is an acquired taste. And not everyone acquires a taste for it. So give the show a few tries. That's what regular listeners say. And just see, oh, okay, after the second or third try, I realized the podcast is for me or isn't for me. And if you know it's not for you, I really hope you can find something that works for you. Some people know right away, and for some reason, those people have strong feelings. I have a website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/no-thanks or no thank you. Either one will get you there. And it has other sleep podcasts you could check out, because I do want you to get some sleep, whether it's the show or something else. So there's that. Not everybody likes me, but give it a few tries. Or not everybody even falls asleep at first, because you say, why are you still talking? When do you get to the story? And I say, I work my way there very slowly, because I'm putting you to sleep. So that's the other thing. Leading into that is the structure of the show throws people off, because this show starts off, it has a different structure. It starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel welcome. You feel seen. Then there's business, like listener support, sponsors, that kind of stuff. That's how we're able to be here twice a week for you. Then there's an intro. And the intro is about, it's not about 12 minutes. It's usually like somewhere around 16 to 20 minutes or so. It goes to about 20, 22 minutes into the show. And that's where I introduce the podcast. Then after, and I'll go back, I'll talk a little bit more about the intro. But then after the intro is more sponsor stuff that's tucked in between the intro and the story. And then it'll be our episodically modular series, Journey into the Land Tomorrow, that you can listen to in any order, because we catch you up at the beginning of the episode on everything that's ever happened. Or you could look at it like a prequel, like this is the first episode, and anything that happened before it, you listen to later on, you say, oh, that's a prequel, that's a Genesis story or whatever. Then there's the thank yous at the end of the show. So that's a structured show. But the one part of the show that can throw people off is the beginning, because it doesn't begin like a normal podcast or like you would think a sleep podcast would. But to the people it works for, it kind of makes sense. You know, so there's business and that kind of stuff, because the podcast is free. I don't want it to be a part of a company or be behind a paywall. Then there's the intro. The intro goes on and on and on, because you say, well, can't you just introduce the podcast and get to the story? And I say, I could, but it wouldn't work as well. We tried that, and we've tested out a lot. I've tested out a lot of different things over the years, and what I've found is that having a nice intro eases most of the listeners into bedtime. It gives you some distance. Like the setting of the sun lets you set the day and leave it behind you. And then you could listen to the intro as you're getting ready for bed or doing something at bedtime, whether it's foam rolling or folding laundry or doodling or making tea cozies, whatever it is, or just looking, you know, just lying there, but not trying to sleep. You ever do that? I love that. Just lying around. One of the things they don't do often enough, but it just gives you a chance to wind down. Now, you could skip it. You could start the show 20 or 22 minutes. About 3% of people that regularly listen to the show skip the intro. And then a few thousand people listen to like story-only episodes on Patreon. But for the majority of people, they use the intro to either fall asleep to or to kind of get ready to fall asleep. Because those of us that have trouble sleeping, we've been promised a lot of different stuff, right? And you found, oh, that worked once or twice for me, but then after that it didn't work. Or, oh, I have this great bedtime routine, but it doesn't always work. And one of the things is just the carryover from the day or the distant past or the future. And my job is to take your mind off of that slowly. So that's why the intro goes on and on and on. The other thing that's important for me to tell you is that you're important. Your good sleep is important, or you getting the rest you need is important, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you can rest. You deserve a bedtime you don't dread, because, oh boy, I've been there, dreading bedtime and worrying about it. And if I can just, like, make it slightly less, you say, well, at least I got Scoots there, so someone's there to keep me company, whatever happens. That's really the pinnacle of my job. Well, Scoots will be there. Maybe I'll fall asleep fast, maybe I won't, but I'll have my boar bud to keep me company. And the other side of that is, not only do you deserve a good night's sleep, if you get the rest you need, your world and my world, our world as a community, will be a better place. But it's also, I know how it feels when you're dreading bedtime, and I don't want that for anybody. So those are all the things I want you to know. And then I guess I wanted you to know about my ear cups. So I have a pair of headphones that I've used, I guess, for almost the entire history of the podcast. I think I bought them when they were on sale, maybe a few months into making the podcast, or maybe a year or two in. I don't know. I've had them for a long time. And so when you record a podcast, you're listening while you're talking in the mic, so that you can make sure, with sleep with me, that I've got my lulling, soothing tones going, and that there's nothing that I couldn't hear with my regular ear, like a plane or a boat or a car or a leaf blower or maybe some other noise. But it's also, it really helps me be here for you. I don't know, there's something about it like that I say, okay, now I'm in sleep with me mode and it's my job. Like, it took a while. It takes a while to get used to hearing yourself while you talk. But so I've had these headphones for a long time, and they have ear pads. Oh, so when you buy headphones for a podcast, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't need fancy headphones, but you do want a pair of headphones that has, like, what they say is a flat response. And all that means is that it kind of sounds like the audio would sound with no effects added to it. So that way you say, oh, okay, this is when I'm listening. And I think that's probably more important with you when you're editing. But so I've had these headphones for a long time, and they have a flat response. And I've never switched them out, and I only use these for recording. I have another set of headphones that I use for editing. But and I've heard these headphones. I don't want to say the name of it just because I don't want to fall into any, I don't know. They're the ATH50. So these are the ATH50X. And the X just means that the cord that attaches them, you can replace very easily, which is nice, but I haven't had to replace that. And it's also really easy to replace the ear pads. Now, I haven't done it since I bought them. I remember I was talking to someone, Sharif, that worked at 99PI a long time ago, years ago, and he was saying, oh yeah, I just had to replace my ear pads on those. And I think he had bought the same ones on sale because there was a sale because they had these ones that had their bright blue. And I guess no one wanted to buy them back, whatever this was, 2014. And so I don't know, like, these ear pads should have gone out earlier, I guess, because let's say I've recorded 800 episodes with these. That's like 1,600 recording sessions. Plus any bonus stuff. So that's definitely 2,000 recording sessions with these headphones on. What did I say, 2,000? Probably. At least 2,000 I've worn these to record parts of episodes and stuff. But so all of a sudden, like a couple weeks ago, not even a couple days ago, I said, wait a second, these don't feel right anymore. There's something off about them. And it was just like, not one of those things that, I mean, I wouldn't wear these out of the house. Their look is not good. They look deteriorated, but they didn't feel deteriorated because it was just like the outside material on them. came off like a long time ago, but the pad part has been there the whole time. But all of a sudden, like literally within a day, within a couple of days, they just stopped. They started not feeling like, if you're aware of the headphones or the earphones, then just like if you're aware you're listening to yourself, then it becomes distracting. So I apologize for that. It's a good distraction in the case of sleep with me, because any distraction we can lean into, we can, you know, soothe it down. So I'll replace those. Don't you worry. I mean, I will have a debate later about which would be more distracting now for the next like 4 or 5 days till I get them replaced, just the ear pads, but is using a different set of headphones that might sound different and distract me. Because what if I have to change the headphone volume? That would be, or just going for it. Because they're not distracting right now. It's just when I first put them on. And I guess there's a life lesson there, really. I'm not kidding. Because when I first put them on, I said, oh boy, these are bugging me. And they said, well, at least I could talk about it on the podcast, be honest with the listeners and see where that goes. I said, okay, we could do that. But then at like 5 or 6 minutes, I said, wait, these are still bugging me. Internally, I said that, not on the podcast. And I said, there's no way I'm going to get through an hour with these on. But now they don't bother me at all. I'm used to them again. Sorry about that, headphones. But I'm sure you'd love to be spruced up with new ear cups. Maybe I could bronze the ones that are in there so they don't feel bad either. Or I could put you up like on the wall to watch over us. That's definitely what I'll do. Don't worry, ear pads. I'm not going to leave you behind. You've been with me this whole journey. So I think that's it. I'm glad you're here. If you're new, obviously this is a very different podcast, but I'm really excited to try to take your mind off stuff, keep you company. I appreciate your time. I work hard, I yearn, and I strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways I keep the show a-going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, welcome to our ongoing episodically modular series, Journey into the Land of Tomorrow. And if this is your first episode, don't worry listening to it. Or let me try to put your concerns at ease, because you could consider every episode up until now a prequel, and you could fall asleep to those later. The characters are going to catch you up on everything you need to know about the story. So that way, then you say, oh, okay, now I'm caught up with the story. Now I can start listening and either be distracted or fall asleep. But basically, what I did was somehow I acquired this audio from a friend's playing a board game, well, a role-playing game, which is like, it's a board game in some sense, a bit like D&D. I think that it's based on D&D 5th edition, which is a role-playing game where you're adventurers and it's a lot of theater of the mind. So they're playing that game and we're listening in. Now they are playing it in a timeline that we haven't reached yet, or maybe on a timeline in the infinite universe. So it's a world very similar to ours. It's interesting, the world, the game, the players are playing in, it's not super important, but it's just another tangent that we have at our in our arsenal. Because you say, Scoots, why? And I say, well, it kind of matters if you want to take your mind off stuff, that the characters that we're listening to aren't in our world. They're in what would be a future world of ours. And they're playing it in the past, which is maybe our future, or a future in a world similar to ours on another infinite, like I said, on an infinite timeline. Well, it wouldn't be infinite. It would be one slice of the timeline. So it's a possibility that it's in our future. But either way, they're playing a game based on it, having fun. And it's very lulling and soothing. And yeah, I think that's it, other than our celebrity announcer who's been with us virtually this whole season, even though we keep Theater of the Mind going, just like Antonio's been here in person. Instead, he sits in his car for 8 hours, pretends to drive here a little bit behind the curtain, and because he would recreate the whole experience, and then stays on the Zoom. Believe it or not, I can still hear him, even when his microphone's muted on Zoom in his garage or his driveway. I picture you with one of those, this isn't a judgment thing. I just picture a palatial estate with a fountain and a roundabout or something. Now he's giggling, but without further ado, our celebrity announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, everybody. It was a friends beyond the binary. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to roll a 20-sided die and take a trip, a journey into the world of tomorrow. Yeah, shush, rolling the dice, yes. Thanks, everybody. That's Mr. Antonio Banderas, and this is Journey into the World of Tomorrow. All right, is everybody settled? So whose turn is it to set everything up as Dungeon Master? I went last week as Zell. So is anybody? It's Eleanor's turn. Okay, so I'll go. Eleanor here. Florentian nurse. And just to catch everybody up, and I know the DM likes to do this. Also, I just wanted to note, thank you for agreeing that we hold the rules a little bit looser in exchange for a little bit further game progression. I'm excited to test that out tonight. So I just wanted to appreciate everyone that we were able to build consensus. And, you know, I'm Eleanor, a healer and Florentian nurse. I serve the three Florences, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm a member of a party of adventurers made up of Wada, a warrior, blue-collar warrior, working-class warrior, as we've been calling Wada. Our other warrior or fighter or whatever, battle bot, Lord Von Chill, distinguished proud, esteemed, full of esteem, steaming with esteem, Lord Von Chill. Fleet of foot and nimble of finger. Is our listener, our explorer, our tracker down, our disarmer, and just an all-around good person. Works for Lord Von Chill, so we can never forget that. Granada of Darmok. Oh, thank you, thank you. And finally, our wizard, technically a player, non-player character, I guess, assigned to us by the Council of Wizards, Wada, a novice or acolyte, short on words, big on heart, in my opinion, Wada, or M. Wada, excuse me, I know, but I just like to call you Wada now that we've got to know one another, we're a party of adventurers on an adventure, actually on a mission. We've accepted a mission guiding our adventure. We're here in what was once a grand themed world in another time that has since been abandoned for a long time. And the Council Wizards tasked us with sneaking into this world, which we have to remember that we're supposed to be sneaking. Not that we haven't been, but and to track down a portal or a gateway to another world full of magic, both good and bad magic, and to seal that portal. We've also learned that we found a gem that's part of a staff or a stave that we'll be using to close the portal, we think. We don't have all that. We're not working with all the information. And we've yet to find a wizard that's around, present, to tell us anything. But that's what part of the adventure. So we've been here. We've been searching former attractions in this part of the theme park. We're in the land of tomorrow. We've journeyed into the land of tomorrow. We're the only ones that we know of that know that the portal is in this land, though we don't know where the portal is or the last two pieces of the staff we're supposed to assemble. But we do know now that after, you know, encountering that some of the attractions in the park have come to life, and some have worked with us, some have worked against us. At some point, I kind of lost my way as healer and nurse, and I'm unable to heal. I haven't rested in quite some time. I attempted to make peace with Zell to reestablish my connection with the three Florences. Florence the Nightingale was the first one. And hopefully, she's heard my calls and my prayers to her, and my ability to humble myself and apologize and thank Zell for accepting my apology. And maybe, yeah, that I had some other motivations that as a human being I have, and some things I just don't understand about Zell's relationships, wait a second, Lord Von Chill here. Oh, so anyway, yeah, you're right, Lord Von Chill, I should pick up on that. So I do need to establish connection with the other two Florences in order to restore my healing, but I'm also a nurse, and we're here in the handy hallways beneath the theme park where the utilities went on and cast members and characters would change into their wardrobes. In fact, we've been hiding here in the wardrobe for just a little while, trying to come up with a plan, which we're working on, I guess, right now, of what to do next. We know there's a clinic down here. Is the clinic stocked? We don't know. It would be good, though, because then I could do some basic nursing and, like, healing later. We know that we just encountered Tick and Tack, two chipmunk. So there was animatronics inside of plush character suits, and we had to deal with them. It was quite an encounter. And something else ran off. Granada of Darmok has, there's one hallway that's blocked off, but we could hear things. And so right now, right in this moment, our mission is to, we think that we could find, that Granada of Darmok has found some sort of passageway or ductway to the clinic around this group. But we're going to try to figure out what this group is, how many we know there's someone that, a group of characters that may not want to do what wish us well, that are aware of our presence here, and that we're probably connected with Tick and Tock, who we just dealt with. And so we have to get to the clinic. We're also, we know that the gem that's part of the staff we recovered is leading us in the same general direction, though Wada thinks it's not the exact same direction. Yes, same general direction. So maybe we'll exit around the clinic from these handy hallways beneath the land of tomorrow. So I think that's it. Is anybody, Granada, what do you think is our plan? Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. We know that according to the map, there's a locker room right down the hall. We also know that, there's some sort of group through the server room and through a few other rooms, and they've been warned of our presence, we think, warned. So what I'm thinking is I listen at the door of the locker room. Then I attempted to go into the locker room with stealth. Hopefully we succeed at these things and see if there's anything in the locker room. But I'm guessing by the map that either we'll find something in the locker room or the room beyond. Maybe I could find a way to listen in or something. Because there's another duct also in the locker room that I don't think I should go down because I think it'd be noisy, but maybe I could use that to listen in. And then we could assess things just to see. Maybe we should just go in and deal with these other characters, but we don't know and we're not all healed. So we're in a state of disarray a bit. Okay, versus going and just going, trying to find that ductway to the clinic. What is the, why would, like, what's the, well, we'll know what we're dealing with because they could come up behind us and they, or they could be waiting in the clinic, you know? So that's my thoughts. Everybody in agreement? That sounds like a pretty good plan. Yes, yeah, so it's just down to chance now. Okay, so I think I understand your plan as Dungeon Master, and you get an amazing role. So Granada of Darmok goes down the hallway by Granada's self, opens the door to the locker room, which was unlocked, very stealthily, does not make a sound, enters the locker room, which is dark, and but Granada senses that there's nothing else there. And Granada was right. Granada gets up on a bench. Everything down here is in very good condition. It's dusty and a little bit not, you know, great, but because it's been sealed off from the elements, the locker room's a bit like it was left, which wasn't a normal work day. Again, I'm getting off topic, but Granada stands up, quietly gets up by the vent and does listen. And listens for a while and hears characters talking back and forth. One, they say, put your suit back on. So Granada is able to infer that whatever was raced out was an animatronic, maybe that's putting on some sort of suit. And Granada, in addition to that voice, those two voices, Granada suspects that there's maybe three, so Granada hears between five, somewhere between four and seven voices, distinct voices, can't be sure more than that, except that you said five. So Granada hears four, between four and seven voices. Okay, so I'll do I successfully sneak back and I'm telling everybody this, that's what happened? Yes. Okay, so I don't think we, like, those tick and tock, if there's five to seven, or even four, I'm a little bit concerned about us take, you know, five on five, they were, that would be, we need to avoid it, I think. Yeah, this is Zell, I agree, as much as I don't want to back down, I think we need to use our brains, Lord Von Chill, I can see you, this is... Okay, well, I'm open, I guess. Lord Von Chill's open. So, is Granada, what do you think? Well, I think I should leave in a, like, we should try to lock that door. I should also put a little surprise on that door, but also particularly a surprise that makes a lot of noise, which I do have. It won't do much damage, but it'll make a lot of noise. So we'll know if anybody comes through that door. And hopefully it'll make them think twice, because it'll go off before they even try to unlock the door, and it shouldn't damage the door. Okay, why don't you see if you could do that? I would like to, I'm going to put these things on the door that I have, the works of Popper Trappers. Okay, you're successful at relocking the door and doing that. Well, I'm really rolling good, huh? Yeah, you were successful. Okay, well, I don't mean to shoulder everything, but I think I should continue down this hallway that goes east, correct? Due east. And after the locker room, according to the map, there's two more rooms. And the first room, I can't really read the writing to something, but that's where the doctor should be to the clinic. So I think I should go down the hall, see if those doors are open or closed, and see what I can see. Okay, I don't know if you should go. This is Zell. I'll go with you. Can I go with you, or should we all go together? Yeah, this is Lord Von Chill. I think we should we should go together, but Eleanor and I, with Wanda in the middle, just watching in case that door, we should all go together, but spaced out in the hall. Okay, so you go down the hall, and you see that both doors are closed. There's two rooms next to each other, and both doors are closed. And then further down the hall is blocked. It's a total cave-in, so you cannot go any further at all, period. Yeah, that was on the map even. So should we try to open this first door, or let's listen at the doors? Okay, so you listen at the doors and you don't hear any. You hear like maybe a little bit clicking, but nothing else. Which door? The first door. Okay, interesting. A clicking, everybody. Okay, let's see if the door. Can we get the door open? Can we see if it's locked? The doors. You don't think the door is locked? Okay, should I, like, ease the door open and then try to see if we can figure out what the clicking is and if anything else is in there? Yeah, I go. Does everybody, everybody's nodding. Okay, so I try to do that. Okay, so you open the door, and the door's in great condition. You turn the knob, it opens, you ease the door open. You didn't really look around the door, but now you can't help but notice that it says, that it says animatronic storage on there, and you open it up, and you notice that the room is filled with animatronic parts, like kind of spare parts. There's a couple benches, but they are pushed up against the walls, and a lot of the spare parts are just piled in the middle of the room. And we're talking all sorts of parts, legs, like robotic ones, arms, torsos, other things. It just kind of looks like it's a pretty large pile. And it definitely looks like at some point in the past, not the recent past, there were people working on it and they had piled it there for a reason. And then you notice the clicking, which is like one hand or arm off to the side is just the fingers are tapping on the floor. Okay, and where's the duct? If I'm standing in the doorway, everyone's behind me ready, right? Yeah, so everyone's behind you. The duct you could see is up 10 feet off the ground directly across from you. And you would need to kind of cross a room and get something or get on somebody's shoulders or something to see anymore. Okay, everybody be ready because I don't like this. And I know how this DM works. So we are ready and we all enter the room together, spread out immediately. If you don't mind me taking control, everybody, and with the intention of slowly crossing the room cautiously, moving one of the tables, and then accessing the duct if everything goes fine. Okay, as you enter the room a little bit further and proceed cautiously, the tapping stops, and then you all pause, and then you wait, and then nothing happens, and then you cautiously start to move again. And as soon as you do, a collection of arms and legs kind of like pops up from the ground and lands on a table closest to Zell. So it jumps like about 4 or 5 feet across the room from the pile. It's large, a bit like an exoskeleton. And it is clearly does not have good intentions for you or your party. Okay, well, let's roll for initiative and let's take it. I don't think we lose anything by taking it out with precautions. Do we have any idea, just from a quick initial standpoint, what it's going to do? It has a couple legs that are legs and arms, so it looks like it does have a little bit of range. But other than that, you don't know. But you are a bit quicker. Zell and Lord Von Chill rush right into action. Then the Crawlatronic, and then Eleanor, Granada, and Wada would be who would go when. Okay, so let's just do it. So Zell, you get an 8 plus 4, which is 12, and you swing and does nothing. Lord Von Chill, though, like has a direct strike with Lord Von Chill's axe. Yes, I think that's what I have. I don't know why we can't remember this kind of stuff. So you land you get a natural 20. So you do 9 plus 3 and then 2 plus 3. Oh boy, bummer. So, but that's still a pretty good total. And yeah, you did it right in the middle of the center of it. But then it comes back and it has a multi attack. It gets a 19 and 17. Yeah, so it uses one of its outfolding legs and does 6 on Lord Von Chill, hits you in the breast plate, and 7. It kind of hits you in your torso. But it also, because it was like a metal on metal, it like vibrates in a way that Lord Von Chill, you're like it. You're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to do anything next round. Well, that's too bad. Eleanor misses. Granada misses. Wada does a thunder wave, which does 12, and knocks it off the table. So it gives you a little bit of space. You immediately go into your next round. Zell goes very swiftly and does 11. So this thing must be very powerful. It's still functioning. It's still functioning quite well. It rolls a 17 and a 14 natural. But it gets a 4 on Wada. And also Wada, like, so it uses that same leg thing that it used on Lord Von Chill. And Wada's, like, stunned for a round. And then it gets a little slashy-poo on Zell for 4. Oh, man. And then Eleanor gets a 13. That does a plus your bonuses of 5 on Crawler. Granada has an 18, which does a 4. And that's the end of that round. And then Zell, you go, you don't even wait. And then you get an 18, and you go down on it, and it just bursts into all, like, whatever you hit it with, so powerful that it breaks into pieces. Okay, can we close the door now that we're... okay, I'll close the door. Okay, so is everybody mostly okay? We're all down. Are any of us in single digits? You're all pretty close to single digits, but you're all still in double-digit hit points. At least that I can see, right? Yeah, as Dungeon Master, I say yeah. Okay, but that's still not great. Granada, like, can we search and see if we find it? So it's just parts and stuff, but we're looking. Oh, we got to check the vent. But let's search the room first. Do we find anything, and how well are we going to search? Well, Zell, you all search, you particularly, you don't find anything of value or any healing things, but you do find some piece of paper inside. You started to check, like, within these things, because they seem to, like, but you see a piece of paper that's crumbled and folded that looks like, you know, on the kind of paper a wizard would use, like papyrus, that you hold on to. Okay, and then can I check that vent? Can I listen at that vent? Can we pile 2 tables up to get to the vent easily? Yeah, so you pile 2 tables. You climb up on them with the support of your team, and you open up the grate, and you notice that, like, 1 foot in, the vent is just collapsed or blocked. It's impenetrable. You can't see anything beyond there, and you can't hear anything. Can I not hear anything because there's nothing here, or because I just couldn't hear anything? because you just couldn't hear anything. No one could hear, no one in your party is able to determine anything else. Okay, well, what's on that paper? Okay, so Zell opens up the paper, and it's got some symbols on it, something that looks like a moon, and it's tough to say what else. Okay, well, who has skills that could determine it? Wada does. It's like paper from a magic user, maybe. Okay, Wada looks it over and says, yeah, this is some sort of, Wada does not know. Wada says, okay, well, this is a crescent. And then says something about a crescent plus something that Wada can't quite understand equals, and then she says, this is kind of, I think this represents like a charm spell, a basic charm spell. So is this Zell asking, like, is this some sort of, is this like a spell? No, it's like an instruction for something, I think. That's what Wada says. Okay. Is there anything else on the paper? Yeah, you flip it over, and now you need to, okay, Eleanor, this is Eleanor. I still can look up some stuff, right? I'm good at that. Okay, so Eleanor, you work with me here because you look at the back and you say, well, that looks like something, like, it looks like it's a drawing of something else, like something representative of something that I connect with. It looks like, okay, I know, this is Eleanor. I don't know where you're getting at, DM. It looks like a machine and someone fixing a machine. That's a stick figure fixing a machine. So you feel something, Eleanor. Oh, because of Florence and the machine. Oh, yeah, Florence of the machine. Oh, maybe this is my opportunity to reconnect with Florence of the machine. So this person is fixing the machine. And if we assume, at least at this time, that it's connected with what's on the other side, I don't know. Okay, so for the time being, that's all you know. And I would say to let that air out, thanks a lot, DM. No, really, just let it air out. You'll figure it out eventually, I think. Will we definitely figure it out eventually, or you don't know? We'll see. Okay, so we can't get through. This is Eleanor. So we can't get through the. So we either have to go back. Might as well check that next room, right? Yeah, let me run out of here. Let me check the hall, make sure it's clear. Okay, you check the hall, it's clear. Okay, let me listen at the next doorway. Okay, you listen at the next doorway, and you test the knob. The door is locked, but you didn't hear anything at all. Okay, so can I check to see if there's any signs or anything on the map that I would say what's in this room? Yeah, so it looks like it's been replaced a few times, the tag on the door, but it says something like, what you could say is like dance, test, and phase. Okay, and how hard is it for me to unlock the door? Very easy, you unlock the door easily. Okay, and is everybody gathered behind me? I'm going to open the door and look in and try to see if there's anything we need to worry about because I didn't hear anything. Oh, could we check, is there a certain order? What are we at? Actually, I have it here. 11, 10, 10. Okay, so Lord Von Chill goes in, and there's nothing in there that catches your attention as far as defensively. But what does catch your attention is this: you enter this strange room. It's very long to the right, to the east, about the size of three rooms, and there's like a, there's a dance floor, but it's a mechanic. It has all these like tracks in it. And then there's animatronics on the tracks bolted to things. And all the animatronics are dressed up in like futuristic party outfits. And it's kind of like a future that was like popular at different times, but like I would say the 1950s in the United States and the old world. And it kind of looks like a dance party. Okay, well I'm wondering about these animatronics. Am I catching anything that I should be alert about? No, you don't have any intrinsic sense of you feel secure right now. Like I feel confident, like I rolled a 15 or something secure. Yeah, you did, see? Okay, thank you. Okay, so everybody else come in the room. So everybody else comes in the room, and yeah, you start to kind of notice there's some like seating where people are watching it. There's like some control panels. I don't know. You're just kind of struck by it. Also looks very good. Like that maybe there was an actual airflow out of this room even. Okay, do we see any airflow like ducts we could go in? All the ducts in this room are very small circular ones, so no. Okay, well, I thought you mentioned that because, well, I was just mentioning that everything looks really good in the room. Okay, well, this is Eleanor. Can we search the room? Okay, so you all start to search the room, and this is what you determine. There's pictures, there's a couple of journals. So you do spend a little bit of time, but you're just trying to do it as swiftly as you can, is my sense. And what you're able to establish as a group is that this was originally, there's some personal notes you've uncovered. So this was originally a show that they were preparing for. It was going to be a stage show. There was going to be dancing animatronics and like an instructor. But then you look at the pictures, also the pictures that you'd seen in the wardrobe before, and you realize that after the beginning of the fall, there was employees living down here as a community, and that they would hold dances, and they would dress up and dance sometimes in this 1950s future period costume and sometimes other costumes. And they would have a shared experience of closeness, dancing together, partying together, and dancing with the animatronics even, kind of as like an escape. In the pictures, they even seem joyful. And there's some writings about that and some writings about, you know, the work they were doing. Eleanor is walking across the room and stubs her toe as she tries to pass one of the animatronics and stubs her toe on a big bolt. And that's when you notice, oh, all the animatronics are kind of bolted to this. The way they dance is they could move their legs and stuff, but they're also bolted so they could spin really quickly. Okay, I guess I stubbed my toe on a bolt, and that's important. And if it's important, it has to do with the last note, which was someone repairing a machine on the back. And on the other side was a crescent moon and a charm spell and something else. Is the person fixing the machine, do they have something in their hand? Did I notice that? You did notice there's something in their hand. Is it a crescent wrench? It is a crescent wrench. Like the crescent wrench we have on us that we found in Buzz Tomorrow. When you say that, Wada says, wait a second, you're right. We do have that wrench, the magical wrench. And you're right. I think I can now make sense of this. If we use the wrench, I think this is a charm spell for the animatronics. Okay, like the charm spell that's been making them functional, do you think? Or what's your sense? Like, is that what, is this what's causing our trouble? No, no. This is a very basic charm spell. It's interesting. Maybe it has to do with these people. Is there any pictures of, or maybe the wizards? I think the wizards led us here somehow. But no, it's a basic charm spell, so my sense is, and I can, it seems like it's pretty easy to make it work because of the power, the magical power. The wrench is a magical item, so I don't even have to use that much of my power. That we could, that the animatronics would kind of follow some basic commands, like almost like an imitation spell, like a director, like if one of us could direct them. Okay, I don't understand at all. This is Eleanor. Does anybody else understand? Okay, this is Wada and the DM. So the wrench, I can make some of these animatronics do what we want, kind of. Okay, this is Granada. So we can make them become like non-player characters and, you know, in our... like if we kind of use in battle. No, the spell isn't that strong. We could use them, but they wouldn't, like I can't, I think Eleanor and Lord Von Chill and Zell and you, Granada, could probably figure it out. I can basically, we can give them basic instructions. Lord Von Chill here, I'm thinking that we could have, so we could give them basic instructions like follow us or walk like us. Could we have them walk in front of us? Yeah, yeah, you could, we could do that. Okay, this is Zell. Could we teach them, like, okay, how many, so we're 5 to 7 in the other room. We have to get to the clinic. So how many, what do we have here? How many animatronics are in this room that we seem, that are bolted to the floor? It looks like you, if you were to do it, you'd be around 15. Okay, so let's, can we start charming them and testing it out while we start charming them? Because what if we have them crowd? Like that's a technique we used to use. In my training is a crowd rush. So we have them, like us five, rush one of the whatever we're expecting in these other this next room, and we have them rush all the other characters. Do you think we could do that, Wada? Yeah, I mean there's 15, so I think that's that sounds like a plan. Okay, how much damage do you think these could take? I don't think very much, but I think that that's a plan worth trying. And I'm starting to charm them as we speak. And, you know, for time's sake, I have them all detached. And, yeah, they'll basically follow us. The only thing is we don't look like they do look. They are animatronics. Okay, this is Granada here. What if we dress? We all dress up in wardrobe? I noticed that there was... like those dress, I just was looking. There was caroling dresses I noticed, and there was a lot of those. Were there Granada? Okay, yeah, sure. There's 35 caroling dresses of different sizes. Okay, so let's all dress and dress all of them in caroling dresses. Okay, so you dress everyone in caroling dresses. Somehow you do this quietly. And then what are you going to do? Oh, go into the locker. Well, we obviously got dressed in the locker room quietly. So I would say, well, they can't. Can they sing? Could they carol? Maybe I shouldn't have dressed us as carolers. They cannot sing. Okay. Zell? Okay, what if we, remember that thing they told us about, like the conga line, that was a form of dancing? Lord Von Chill, you have the most hit points, so what if you go first in a conga line, and we all try to enter the room as a group, all, whatever, 20 of us, and then Wada you seem to have the charm. I don't understand how the charm works, and I don't want to understand. What if you have, we'll go to the furthest, or how about this? We enter the room if we see what we see, but we enter it as a conga line. Wada, you do a thunder wave if you can. And as soon as you do the thunder wave, then we'll go to the person the furthest east, whatever is furthest east, and you have them crowd everybody but the furthest east opposition. So furthest to the right. Okay, let's do that. Okay, so dungeon master here. So if I understand it, you're going to enter the room. You're going to see what you see. If you see something, then you'll roll for initiative, I guess. Unless you have the power, unless for some reason it's a surprise. Well, will, like, if Lord Von Chill, can Lord Von Chill roll to see how good, like, if you saw 20 caroling animatronics, would that bias time just to have Wada cast a Thunder Wave? Huh. Yeah, let's roll a 20. Okay. Yeah, that helps. That was an 18. I hope it helps. Okay, so just, yeah, it helps. Okay, so Lord Von Chill, what's the order? I think we should all be towards the front, but let's do Lord Von Chill. Let's randomize it. So Lord Von Chill, two dancers, then me, then one dancer, then Wada, then two dancers, then Granada. Then a bunch of dancers, then Eleanor. Okay, so I'm going to do this in kind of slow motion, fast motion. So you go into the room, you open the door, you're conga lining, you're shaking your hips. The animatronics are able to kind of follow along, and you've done a good job at pretending you're animatronics. And you go into a room. And in the room are five plush characters. They're all dressed as ducks. There's Quacky the Duck, Mrs. Scrooge, Desiree, Louise, and Helene. They're from a show. Oh, yeah, they're from that show, Tales of the Ducks. Yeah, they're from the show Tales of the Ducks. Okay, so they all are obviously, even though they're animatronics within plush or whatever characters, seeing 25 animatronics go in the room, they do have to pause because they're not sure, because there's so many animatronics, they're not able to process that you're humans, at least initially. And Wada casts Thunder Wave. They were kind of spread out. Quacky is on the right, so that would be who you'd be targeting. But Wada casts Thunder Wave and actually works out. I'll just do the initiative two. So it actually works out. Wada, Granada, Zell, Quacky, Lord Von Chill, Mrs. Scrooge, Eleanor, and then Louise, Helene, and Desiree, the ducks. So Wada casts Thunder Wave. It does 8 on 2 and 5. So it does 8 on... Sorry, this is just a big math part. So it does, on Mrs., it does 8 on Mrs. Scrooge and Helene. And then it does 4 on Quacky and the other two ducks. Okay. And we all go after Quacky together, expecting that they're going to be tough. And okay, so you successfully surround Quacky, and actually, much like in movies with other crowding, the room is separated now with 15 or whatever dancers surrounding the four other ducks. Of course, these ducks look like they mean business. And Granada goes next and does 9 on Quacky. Zell, 18. Wow, you do 10 on Quacky. Quacky goes back and goes after Eleanor. And we'll return to this, but Quacky has a beak and a flapper, like all the ducks do, a sharper flapper, like its wings arms. But it beaks Eleanor for 4, but it also has a properties. We can discuss it later. It's not going to have an immediate impact. Great. I just had one refining question, not to take away from this action, but do I feel closer to Eleanor the machine after helping figure that out? Or Florence the machine? You do. You feel very connected to Florence the machine and Florence the Nightingale. Okay, thank you. Okay, then Lord Von Chill, 14 on Quacky. Then Mrs. Scrooge takes out one dancer, Eleanor, 20. And you end Quacky. Then another one of the ducks takes out one dancer with its wings. Then another duck takes out a dancer with its beak. And then the last duck takes out a dancer with its beak. So you're down to 11 dancers. And Eleanor, you've taken a little bit of a hit. Then the next round, Wada, there's no chance. You can't do Wada can't do Thunder Wave, but does second level magic missile. And that does 6 damage on Mrs. Wada, I guess, decided that you're going after Mrs. Scrooge next. Granada, you had 10 plus 5, so it's a 6. You do 6. Zell, you get 3. You miss. Lord Von Chill misses with a 6. And then Mrs. Scrooge, 18 and 15. So they both goes after Lord Von Chill. Oh, no, Eleanor. It does 5 total on Eleanor. But it already successfully beaked you. Eleanor, 14, so you do 6 back on her. Then the three sister ducks, they managed to take out 5 dancers between the three of them. And Mrs. Scrooge seems like hobbled but not out. Wada does actually magic missiles, takes out Mrs. Scrooge successfully. And Granada, you lead the next one. Okay, let's take on who's the next one in the order? Helene, right? Okay, so you get a 14. Oh, I'm going to use a sneak attack too. Okay, so you do 12 total between your attacks on Helene. Zell's a 17, 11 on Helene. Okay, this is Lord Von Chill. I'm going to do my action surge then. Okay, so you 14, 9. Okay, so you take out. That's the end of Helene. Okay, so Eleanor. Okay, I'll just go after. What is it? Helene? Louise. Okay, you got a 1. Okay, then Helene takes out 1 dance. Oh, no. Helene gets Lord Von Chill with a wing for 5. Louise takes out 1 dancer. And Desiree takes out 1 dancer. Oh, no, two dancers. So you're losing dancers pretty fast. Then Wada, next round, does 5 on, who are you going to, Helene? Louise, right? Helene's gone. Is that right? Yeah, that's right, DM. Okay, well, it's just a lot for me to know. Granada gets a 2. Okay, so this is how I'm going to use my action surge. Okay, so you got an 8, but your action surge is a 17. Oh, but you're 8 with your bonus. So, yeah, you did 16 total on Louise. Okay, Lord Von Chill. Okay, you got, okay, with your bonuses, you did 18. No, that's not right. Oh, okay. No, that's because it's 19. Okay, so you did 13, 18, and Helene's gone. Or Louise. Helene's already gone. Louise is gone. Eleanor does 12 on Desiree. Then Desiree takes out two more dancers. But it's just Desiree left, right? Yeah. Okay. Wada just not successful. Granada, you do 7 on Desiree. Zell, you get a 15. So you do 8 on Desiree. 13 for Lord Ventral. So that's 7. Eleanor, you got a 5. And, okay, then Desiree takes over, takes out last set of dancers. Wada, no. And Granada finishes off Desiree. And you're all, like, in the, obviously, you're all, like, sweating. You can't believe it. But actually, one thing that catches Eleanor's eye is that one of the dancers actually is okay. It just needs to be picked up. And Eleanor, you pick up the dancer and kind of you just do a couple plugs and stuff, and it's back together. And what do you think you would do with that dancer? Well, I would think I would start singing, and as Eleanor, I would start singing and dancing with it with the joy and with the adrenaline and the joy in my heart, and I would start caroling, and I would encourage, then I'd say, Zell, could I have this dance with you? And I would spin and dance with Zell, and then Granada, and then Wada, and then Lord Von Chill, and then the dancer, and then Zell again. And I think I would feel the power of the three Florences flowing back through me, like slowly refilling me with power and the ability to rest soon. Yeah, while you do that, Granada, what do you do other than dance? Well, I'm dancing joyfully. Well, would you want to check? Okay, so I'll check the rest of the hall. Okay, so you go down the hall. You see there's like a sealed entrance it's sealed from the inside, like at the end of the hall out. So that's secure, and then the clinic door is actually, like, really well locked with, like, an improvised door with a padlock on it that you're not able to get open. Okay, well, I'll search for the key then. Okay, so, oh, wow, I didn't think you'd find the key that fast, but you find the key hidden in the last room you were in, which was like a break room, cafeteria. You find it on top of one of the old vending machines. The vending machines don't have anything in them. I think I would have found it in the change return slot, to be honest with you. Yeah, that's what I meant. That is where you found it. So you open up the clinic, and you see that the clinic is not fully stocked, but it was actually like a pretty big. And you say, wait a second, I could lock the door from the inside as well as outside with this padlock. So after the dancing subsides, you all go in there. And there are some kits, some healing, some nursing supplies, medical supplies. But mostly there's cots, there's some fresh water, there's some rations. So you lock yourselves in there and get comfortable. You could all feel the flow of energy from the, actually, it's so powerful that you all, before you even go to rest, half of your hit points that you lost are restored, because you could feel the passionate energy flowing from Eleanor and the three Florences, and you all get comfortable and you rest until next week, when we journey again into the land of tomorrow. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Kirsten, Lee, Laura, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kristen, Hannah, and Michelle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kelly, Lindsay, and Ellie, Thank you. Thanks. 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 Good night. Hannah, Sarah, and Jesse. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Kristen K, Lisa and Jeanette, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Carrera, Marion and Michelle, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Christina, Kim, and Vladimir, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Corey with K and an I, Amy and Emily, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Anna, Karen, and Helene, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And XYZ, Mara and Emily, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep With Me is here as a free podcast because of people that support the show directly on Patreon or support our sponsors, and we also grow as a podcast by people just spreading the word about the podcast. In natural conversation, you can check out our referral program at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. But, yeah. That's how we keep things going around here. But if you, the thing you always say, I always say is like, if you share about podcasts in general with someone, that's a win for Sleep With Me. I mean, you could eventually tell them about Sleep With Me, but if you teach a few people in your life how to use a podcast app, think of all that you're unlocking for them in their life. And then you get to share what you like and the things you share. And then eventually down the road, if they need Sleep With Me, they'll find it. But that's everything. Here's one more thing I was going to tell you about. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody. This is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15 year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.